It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Fifteen minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We're with you until 5, then we hand the baton off to Tim Alcorn and Scott Zarilla as they bring you the Cobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Cue, presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning. That comes your way at 5. They take it till 6:30 when the Cavaliers Radio Network takes over. Cavs will host the Pacers in Game 5 of that first-round series down at Quicken Loans Arena. Tip time scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. Getting into some Hall of Fame talk. I love this series, man. We get some really, really interesting stories along the way. The Elyria Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony takes place on May the 5th at the Spitzer Conference Center at Lorain County Community College. And John Laird is joining us right now. He's being inducted a week from this coming Saturday. John, thanks so much for stopping in. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I want to begin this the way we begin most of these, by going through the process and finding out how you knew you were going to be inducted. Everybody talks about that phone call and what's going through their mind when they get it. Set the stage for us here. How'd you find out?
Well, I've been a lifelong assistant coach, and my wife is pretty much the head coach of our family.
And that's well put.
She had submitted information. I always told her she wrote a book about me to get me in. I said, well, hey, you got to negotiate your way. She's a great salesperson, advertising sales, so she helped me get in. And I really didn't know when the vote was. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't know when the vote was. So I'm just sitting upstairs doing normal, you know, relaxation a little bit. I'm actually in the bathtub. And all of a sudden I hear my wife come running up the steps, and my son's right behind her. And she has tears in her eyes. She bursts the door open. And I'm trying to be as quiet as possible because, you know, I'm pretty much in the bathtub. And Mass St. Marie's talking to me, and I'm trying to be as calm and quiet as I can because I don't want to start splashing water. So that's pretty much how I found out.
I like it, though. You're the first one who said they've answered on the first try. It seems that it has to be two or three calls for everybody else. They don't recognize the number right away.
Well, I wasn't even paying attention, to be honest with you, and I figured if I get in, it's going to be wonderful for me and the family.
Sure.
And if I don't, you know, we gave it a good shot and you go and you move on.
Sure.
You move on.
Well, and, you know, the Hall of Fame is nothing new to you. You were inducted into the Oberlin College Hall of Fame back in 2002. But this is going to be a little bit different for you. And I know it's going to be different in a number of different ways. You were explaining to me before we came on the air that, you know, not only will you get to enjoy this, but your entire family will get to enjoy this as well.
Yes. You know, to me, at this point in my career and my life, to have my wife and my sons, you know, be part of this, it's more than I could have hoped for. You know, she really helped the process to get me in. My boys were very active with her doing it, and to have everybody there, it's very special to us at this point.
Well, and you mentioned earlier when you went into the Oberlin Hall of Fame, your kids were so young they didn't totally understand the process.
No, and you know, I attribute that to the guys who I worked with back then, or who were my coaches back then, were Don Hunsinger and Larry Solomon. And those guys were very good to me all the years I was working with them at Oberlin. They helped me beyond Oberlin as far as career choices, advancement. And I know Don lobbied quite a bit for me in 2002. And to have my boys, and Don's going to be at this Hall of Fame induction as well, sitting at our table. So to have him here as well and have my boys and my wife there, it's very special to us.
That should be really, really awesome. Again, this is a pretty impressive class. The more we've been able to sit down and talk to the inductees and learn about the stories that go along with them, it's been a fun process for us. As you look back, going all the way back to your high school days, what are some of your fondest memories? I mean, you were a standout in a couple different sports. What are some of the memories that stand out to you?
You know, I think one coach one time said he considered me a very good or great athlete. And I think, you know, those years of playing everything, being involved in everything was special to me. But when I look back and I thought, my first year I started, we were sophomores. And in those days, not too many sophomores started. 77 was the first year we played. And that was the first year we played Elyria Catholic. Hmm. So that was the first real battle of Elyria. And they were coming off their state championship, and my first start was against Elyria Catholic at Ely Stadium, and it was the biggest crowd I ever played in front of in high school. I mean, the place was swamped. There was standing room only around the edges. It was just a great environment to be part of that. The 78 championship game, our championship season we had 40 years ago, we tied EC 0-0 to have a co-championship in the conference. So those type of things were special to me. On a personal level, playing my last high school baseball game was special as well because it was a Lorain County All-Star game, and I got a pretty decent hit a home run to help the team win and was voted MVP of that. So those are some of my highlights.
Sure. John, I know you're a big baseball guy, but was that your favorite sport going through high school and all, or was there one that you enjoyed more but maybe just didn't have the talent at?
I've had this conversation many times. I love baseball. Yeah. My family loves baseball. On our front door, our door knocker says home plate. My boys are, it's a true like story. That. My boys are both baseball players, going to have one's in college now. He's at Tiffin, transferred out of the Illinois system. One boy's at Elyria Catholic, doing very well. And so baseball's our love, and I love baseball. But I had a temperament of a football player. So I love the process of football. I loved coaching football because the process is what makes the team so good. Baseball's my natural love, but I love the process of coaching football and playing football. Huh.
What sort of things did you take from football, coaching football, kind of playing football into the baseball realm?
Well, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough because you have to have a very short memory and very short memory in baseball. Yeah. And if you put me on the field, you know, at a I played shortstop. I was a pitcher. You're not going to get a ball through the gap or the alley. I'm going to get to a ball. I'm going to throw you. I'm going to do all I can to stop you. Pitching, I'm going to do everything I can to get you out. But, boy, at the plate, you have to have a short memory. That was where it got me. You know, striking out, that's not a great thing. You have to have a short memory in baseball.
Sure, you're right. There's nothing comparable to that, I think, in other sports. I mean, you legitimately fail a majority of the times you step up to the plate.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an all-star, you fail 70% of the time, right? I mean, that's the crazy part about baseball, the mental aspect of it. John Laird is being inducted into the Elyria Sports Hall of Fame on May 5th. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And you weren't just a standout in those two sports. You were telling us just a few minutes ago, you actually participated in some track and field events. Tell us how all that went down.
You know, we were just talking about the spring weather here. And occasionally, you know, in college you get a game rained out. And we'd occasionally get games rained out, and all of a sudden the coaches start thinking, well, hey, let's put a javelin in Laird's hand. So, you know, they hand me a javelin and say, hey, go over to that line, let's throw that javelin. So I probably threw in three or four track meets, and I believe I won them all. So it was sort of fun.
Well, that's impressive. You got the ribbons and everything for it, too. That's cool. It's dabbling, I guess,
well,
in track.
You know, just being an athlete. You know, I remember when I was a little boy growing up and I first started playing as a little boy in the rec system here in Elyria. And my mother, I didn't know who Vic Janowitz was, and we're Westsiders, and, you know, she comes from a very small family, and no aunts and uncles, no cousins. We had a very small family, and she says, be like Vic Janowitz and play everything, do everything. I said, okay, that sounds good to me, so I did.
Nice.
So I did.
Clearly it worked out for you. That's cool.
You feel like that's kind of missing today? I mean, the fact that you – see, I don't even think that's even a possibility anymore. If you get rained out, you can't even go over to track and say, hey, you know what, just throw a javelin. I feel like that's something that existed many years ago, but, like, that's totally been wiped away today.
You know, even in the years when I was coaching high school ball, West High, you started seeing that you were really starting to position kids. If you played two, it was good. I mean, we tried to play three. Mm-hmm. If you played two, that was okay, but – now as time's going on, people are really starting to focus on really making one sport their priority. And whether it's through youth league, travel teams, high school, college, you know, you're just putting all your time, effort, and monies into those single sports. And in a way, I think kids are missing out. I think there's way too much pressure on the youngsters who do this. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I've had this conversation many times with people that I think we treat our elementary school kids like high school kids sometimes on these travel teams. And our high school kids like college and college like pro. And I think that's evidence in the culture. I think it's tough.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, and I think it's fascinating you mentioned that, too, because that's one of the ways I think baseball anyways, and I think not baseball's not exclusive. There are a lot of sports, I think, that belong in that conversation also, but baseball in particular, it seems to have really changed in that way. And I think it's changed in a number of different ways, too. I mean, we talk about the challenges the weather creates, especially in the springtime up here. You told me earlier, look, I mean, the tools that the kids have at their disposal now, with this hot gear and this cold gear and things like that, you said, look, we used to go out and just play in short sleeves.
Indoor training facilities. We were lucky, you know, if you could free up time in the gymnasium because of volleyball and basketball. Now they have the indoor facilities. They're state-of-the-art facilities for these kids, and they benefit from it. The baseball players, they're very good now. There's no question about it. I think they're considerably better than we were at the same age simply because of the commitment and the exposure to doing it the right way longer. You know, they have more time.
Well, I was just going to point that out. I had a buddy who played AAU in high school. He was really one of the first guys I knew who focused on one sport. It was basketball. He got letters from all these colleges to possibly go on and play, but I think by the time he got there, he was just so worn out with the sport, he didn't really want to play anymore. And you said you're an assistant coach by trade these days, doing some things here and there. Do you see that happening in some of these kids who really do have the talent and have perfected the skill but just are kind of done with it at that point?
You know, I think if you're not mentally tough enough, it's going to burn you out quite young. And this is an endurance game. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, people are shocked by the fact that, you know, I don't go to every game. I don't go to my boys' practices. Here I'm a former athlete, former coach, and I don't do it. And I'm still too active in my mind as a coach. I don't want to interfere or interfere as little as possible. And, you know, I tease my boys. I say, you know, there's a lot of helicopter parents out there. I said, I'll be a lighthouse parent. I'll be there when you need me. When you need me. I'll be there in the storm, and we'll work things out. And it's worked out well for my family.
I like that.
So do I.
You don't want to be a helicopter parent. You want to be a lighthouse parent.
A lot of parents need to be lighthouse parents.
Wow. Yeah. Well done. I like that. I like that a lot. Well, John, we'll cut you loose on this. We ask all the inductees this question. I have a feeling you might have some help with this, but do you have that Hall of Fame speech ready yet?
You know, I've been dabbling in a little bit. There's so many things I could say. You know, I'm told we have 3 to 5 minutes, and there's so many people. I could tell you every coach who's impacted me in a positive way from the time I was 7 till today. I could tell you every person. I can picture them. I know what they've done for me. The former players I've coached, who some will never be in a Hall of Fame, and were just as passionate and hardworking as the boys who get in or the girls who get in. The elite athletes that I had a chance to work with at West High and Elyria High. I could talk for quite a while on this. Gosh, who was it? I think it was Matt Saint. No, it was Tom Taylor, Elyria Catholic. Tom Taylor said they were having a debate who could talk more at this at this evening, me or Tom Kabusi. Uh-huh. I said, Tom's going to win because I'm going to stick to the script. I'm going 3 to 5.
Yeah, we're... Actually, I think we're going to have Tom on tomorrow, so we'll have something to compare that with. So, good stuff. John, congratulations on being inducted. Thank you so much for coming to the studio. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right, time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I will come back here in just a few on AM 930 WEOL.
Dovin and Reber Jones Funeral and Cremation Center aspires to raise the level of service and the amount of personal